Jem said, my name's Joe. I'm one of the elders here at Grace Church across the sites. So this morning, we've called this morning Life Changer. It's just great, I think, to look back at all the things that God has done in our lives. And we've already really been hearing from that in the worship, haven't we? And hearing some stories. One of the great reasons is we look back, and so it gives us hope as we look forward to the future, doesn't it? I just want to kind of introduce what we're doing for a couple of minutes. When we look back, we see how God has changed lives. There's going to be, what we're going to do is, a few people are just going to be sharing this morning, a handful of people. I do think if time wasn't an issue, and as Casey was saying, actually, if we all kind of took a moment to count every blessing in our lives, we've all got a story to tell, haven't we? We've all know that we have been blessed. I think that counts if we're a Christian or not, actually. I think, you know, as we were saying, from the air we breathe to the place we live, to the time period we live in, we're richly blessed, aren't we? Now, I think it's also helpful to recognise that, you know, don't get me wrong, it can be tough. Life can be tough. I'm sure there'll be many people here living in situations which are quite tricky. You know, it might be health, might be jobs, income, whatever it is that makes life more difficult. But that I think it's good to be reminded as well, they're not the things that define us. You know, whatever we go through is not actually what defines who we are. It's in knowing God that we kind of are defined. And that means that, you know, really, regardless of the situation that you are in, he defines you. He can bring peace into your situation, every situation. I mean, I love life changer mornings, just to hear about what God has been doing. I'm sure you do too. As a church, quite a lot's happened in the last year. So just to name a few things. So we've done 2 community fun days, like that one we're going to do again in Bognor. We did one in Chichester. We did one in Midhurst here, which was great. We've supported, you may not know, another Syrian refugee family have arrived, and we've supported to make that happen. As Jamie was saying, we've raised a lot of money to help start a fourth site in Havant, to give to the poor in the Philippines, to continue to do all the work that we do, you know, as a church with our youth, with our young people, with in Ford Prison, and all of the things that we do. And we've continued to meet every week in 3 locations. We've been baptizing people. We've had 7 Alpha courses over the year at Grace Church in various different forms. God has been good to us, hasn't he, as a church? And I think you can, I always think, I just forget these things. And every so often you think, okay, what's actually happened? And you look back and think, wow, God has really done a lot in the last time period, whatever it might be. And we've got lots to look forward to as well in the coming year. So we're going to be doing Havant, which we're excited about. We're going to be continuing to outreach into the local communities that we're in. We're going to be raising new leaders across the sites and baptizing people. Lots to be excited about as a church as well. But as I say, often the new year can be a difficult one when we kind of come into new seasons. Actually, it's not that easy. You know, people in our church over the year being seriously unwell. People have lost loved ones. Difficult relationship problems that people have been through. So actually, sometimes starting a new year or a new period can be quite tricky. Before we kind of get into the stories, I just thought it'd be good to focus on a few verses that Paul wrote to the Philippians. You can turn there if you want. Actually, I'll put it up on the screen. This is how Paul started his letter to the Philippians. He said, "I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus." So how does Paul start that? He starts just by praising God. And that's how we started today too, haven't we? We change, you know, don't we? Our circumstances change, lives change, everything changes, but God remains the same. God is always good. He is always worthy of our praise. Whatever we have been through and are going through or might go through in the future, we always start by thanking God. As a church, it's a great way to start. But where does this hope come from? What do we have God to thank for? Well, it comes from and through Jesus, doesn't it? By his Holy Spirit. We have Jesus with us, knowing that what God has begun in our lives, he will not stop, but he will bring it through to completion. It might be this morning you're not a Christian, you don't know what you believe necessarily. It'd just be great. These are just ordinary people's lives, ordinary people's real lives. And if you've got questions or anything, then feel free to ask them, I'm sure, ask me what you think, or the person you came with. So this morning we've got some different testimonies from different people at different stages in their lives. Some might still be in the midst of hardship, actually, because that's often how God works. He speaks in the midst of hardship, and some may have come through, some will be very fresh potentially, some might have occurred a while ago even. But what links all of these people together is not how kind of good or bad their situation being, their difficult moments, but it's that they have, in the midst of their difficulty, they have trusted and had faith and hope in Jesus, in the life changer. That's what links all these people. So let's crack on then. First up, we're going to have Louise, who's going to tell us a bit of her story. So why don't we give Louise a round of applause? Welcome Louise up.
Morning. So as I was praying about what God wanted me to share with you guys this morning, I realized actually that I've not actually shared my story of how I became a Christian with you. And that is one of the most powerful stories that I have. It was a little while ago, but it kind of links in with what's going on in my life now. So please bear with me. I won't be too long, I promise. So to give you an idea of my backstory, I grew up in a nominally Christian family who went to church on Christmas and Easter, but held probably loosely to Christian morals, but it didn't seem to be lived out in the way that they lived their lives. So I wasn't particularly bothered by that because nominal faith was all that I'd actually ever known. And then when I was 18, in a tragic farming accident, my dad was killed on our farm. And that absolutely shook my entire world to its very foundations. And I saw my family struggle to understand, cope, and come to terms with what had happened. And then the September of the following year, I went to university. I was still reeling from the shock and worried about my family as I moved up to Newcastle. And then in one of those coincidences that was so clearly instigated by God, three lovely Christian girls moved in on the same floor in the accommodation block as me. They showed me compassion, kindness, and they helped me to understand how God can even work through suffering, which blew my mind entirely. And at the end of the first week as a fresher, I chose to dedicate my whole life to Jesus. So, fast forward 6 years. I'm now a bit more mature. Can't say particularly massively mature in myself as a person, but in my faith I'm more mature, I have to say that. But God hasn't stopped working in me just because I changed my life to become a Christian once. He's continually confirming and shaping my new identity through his Bible, through intimate conversations that I have with him, and through experiences that I have with his people and the people around me. So one of the strongest influences over my Christian life has actually been the way that God's spoken to me through those people who he's placed around me. And I'd love to just share how he's working in me now. So around 6 months ago, one of my friends who's a Christian spoke some spiritual truth over me about my identity. And from the way that she spoke, I truly believe that God used her to confirm and directly address insecurities that I was having at that time, and to remind me of God's status as my adoptive father. To hear that I am loved, not for what I do, but for who I am, is such a sense of relief. I don't ever need to earn God's favor or affection, and he loves me in spite of my poor life choices. And just, it's amazing. Because of Jesus, I can belong. I can belong here at church. I can be in his house and dwelling with his people, with the banner of the Lord flying proudly above us all. I belong in his family, and that isn't something where God has just short-term fostered me, just kind of kept me going for a little bit. But no, I have been permanently adopted. I've taken on his surname as his adopted daughter, and that is just incredible. I love it. And related to that, he's also been teaching me that one of the most important things I can do is learn to rest in him. If you know me at all, you will know that I am a very busy person, which means that I often act first and pray later. But actually, I'm challenging myself, and please do challenge me on this as well. I would appreciate that a lot. But I'm challenging myself to consistently stop and seek God first and then go and do. It's not easy, but thankfully, he's a really good, merciful Father, full of grace and intimately invested in each of our situations. He knows about that. He knows about what's going on with me, and he's guiding me and leading me in that. He knows about you as well. He wanted me to tell you that this morning, that whatever your financial worries, health concerns, relationship breakdowns, and even secret burdens that you've never told anyone, he knows. He knows, and he cares about that so much. And the last thing I wanted to share was that this friend who spoke some truth into my life confirmed through a picture at the same time that I have a voice. Now, I've always struggled with the ridiculous notion that my opinions are fine for me to have, absolutely fine, but that no one else wants to hear them. This has made mission work an interesting challenge for me, as so often my inner chicken whispers to me, well, God says differently, but whatever works for you is fine. I don't need to tell you that. But I'm actually learning that when it comes to reaching other people and leading them to Jesus, there's a real urgency to mission that can't be ignored. I have wisdom inside of me that is worth sharing, and that is mind-blowing. And as we explored at CST, the people who came yesterday, if not me, then who? And if not now, then when? So God requires his children to have faith in him, even if it's as small as a mustard seed. And he has a plan for each of your lives, just as he has a plan for mine. And in the book of Jeremiah, I'm sure you will know it, but it says that his plans are plans that will prosper you and not to harm you. It's up to you to trust him, even if you can't see the bigger picture. And so I pray for all of us that we would be encouraged to step out in faith and build each other up to do the same. And as I'm about to move to the Haven site, whoop, whoop, I may not actually see the fruits of what might be happening in some of your lives here or how Midhurst as a church is going to change. But that doesn't matter. It's not about me. I'm so excited to hear the stories of what God's going to do in this site whilst I'm in Haven. And hopefully the same thing is going to happen there. We have faith for that. So God has big plans. Trust in him. And I'm excited.
Wow. I mean, praise God, eh? Praise God. Like, do you hear that as well? Do you hear, you know, Louise's challenge, and God knew what she was going through. God knows what you're going through. He cares for you. That's amazing, isn't it? It's encouraging. Andrew's going to come and share something of his story. So why don't we welcome Andrew up.
Greetings. You know, Sue and I try to remember each day to pray. It's quite a battle sometimes. Of course, there are various things. First of all, we try to remember to thank God for what he's done, and that's really quite something. And then there are various things. We have supplication for the various problems and things, and thanks for what's happening in our lives. And then, of course, there's the family. And then there's the church and people outside. And some of them know Jesus and are perhaps having a rough time. Others don't. And we like to remember to pray for them. Now, quite often I feel the prayers become quite mechanical. We have a list of people to pray for. I've got various mnemonics to remember who comes where. So we group them and we go through and surely God isn't listening to this lot. And it seems to me so often we get into this trap of thinking it's a waste of time. Just a couple of quite small examples. One person came to an evangelistic meeting here in Midhurst some years ago, and we've lost contact, and Sue had this strong feeling that he had died. And I kept him on the list just about, and we kept praying, and suddenly I discovered he was alive. He was on Facebook. I've tried to make contact. So far, no progress there, but the first stage is met. We know he's there, and it is work in progress. Another example, we use in Hazelmere, we still do this healing on the streets, where a team goes out now once a month, but like it a bit more often, and in a public place, and we ask people going past if they would like to be prayed for healing or something. And of course, also, we're really interested in their souls, and we hope that they'll come to Jesus because of the contact. And you see people passing again and again, no reaction, and the rest. On one occasion, we were just starting in the morning, and we're putting up a banner, which was a horrible job. And as we were doing this, this lady comes past, and she wants help. She wants the police, because she's got some dodgy neighbors. So we talk to her, and we get friendly with her. And eventually, believe it or not, she comes to church, and then she gets converted, and she gets baptized. But then, of course, this was the church in Hazelmere we were in, and we moved here when Grace started, and we rather lost contact. She's on the list. Has she wandered away? We don't know. And then suddenly, a week or so ago, she phones up and turns up and visits us. And that's great. And she's brought somebody, a man she's trying to help, not a romantic association, but somebody who's had problems with his family. And so things are going. So just praying for somebody, perhaps the name automatically actually works, despite my beliefs, which is great. And then the other thing, of course, does prayer work? Well, I think the evidence is Sue and myself are here. A cousin of mine was looking at the family history, and he discovered that in the 1850s, one of our ancestors, or a couple, were inviting neighbors into their house so they could hear the gospel preached. In other words, they were evangelical at that stage. And as far as we can tell, there's been a constant stream ever since. We've been immensely privileged. And I like to think of all those years, and people have a list of people to pray for. And they pray for their family and the rest. And then the family in due course prays for theirs. And then they pray for them. And here we are, and this is a miracle. It may not look exciting, but thank you, Lord. It's great.
It's great, isn't it? God answers prayers. I'm sure you guys have had it before as well. When you're praying, it just feels so kind of mechanical, and you're just talking to yourself or something. But God has answered perseverance of prayers, and God does bless many generations, and He will say, "I'll bless you and your descendants after you." And God has obviously done that and testified to that as well. Brilliant. Libby is going to come and share something of her story. So why don't we welcome Libby? Come on.
So God's blessed me in a lot of ways this year. So I was baptized at a youth weekend away, and the day before we had a meeting in the evening, and I had a massive encounter with God, and I was crying, and there was a lot of it was amazing to actually see that God can encounter with us, and it was really amazing to have it just before my baptism, so I knew that it was the right thing to do. And then later on in the year, we went to West Point, and in the youth meetings, they're so good in the youth meetings because there's so many people there, and it's an amazing sort of place to get together and all be together worshipping God. And in one of the meetings, the preacher said to everyone and said, "There's someone in here who suffers from really horrible migraines," and everyone around me was like, Livy, that's you." So I put my hand up, and then everyone around me started to pray for me. And since then, I've had only two, which is a bit disappointing, but they have definitely reduced. So they've been really good. And then recently, my friend Albert has been struggling at school, and he's just been a bit down. And he knew that I was a Christian, and we had talked about it before. I was at my nan's once, and he just texted me after I had texted him back saying, "Are you okay?" because he wasn't having a very good day at school. So he texted me back and said, yeah, but can you pray for me? So I prayed for him there at my nan's house. And then a couple of days later, after we had sort of not really talked about it, he said, like, I'm really thankful. And he said that it really helped. And recently we've been talking about it and we've been carrying on with it. So, yeah, God has blessed me in really good ways this year.
Thanks, Divi. Amazing, isn't it? I mean, what? I'm just sitting there thinking, well, that's amazing. Oh, that's amazing. You know, meeting with God powerfully, getting baptized, amazing, and then healing and just. And there is something powerful, isn't there? I'm sure many of us can testify to moments in our lives when we're kind of being a similar age where we met with God really powerfully and it was life changing. And also going to things like West Point and just seeing this mass of young people is. Because we are joining with people across the world this morning, aren't we? And it's kind of, we can forget that. But it's great to be able to experience that. That's just wonderful. I've left my notes. Who's up now? I've got, I don't know if they know, it's John.
Leclerc, no. I don't know about you, but there have been times in my life when I think, if I was God, I'd do things differently. I don't know whether you relate to that or whether you're a better Christian than I, but I'm pretty sure that most of us have said, if I was Prime Minister, I'd do things differently. And in the same way, there's some things I'd do differently. For instance, I'll share them with Life Group the other day, cat poo. I'd make it far more soluble, wouldn't you? And as a landscape gardener, you probably understand what I mean. You know, it's got the tenacity of super glue. It's got the tracking ability of the highest spec CIA device, and it's with you for the rest of the day, isn't it? And that's just a minor thing, isn't it? In life, I do things differently. I make prayer far more instant. And I thought when I first became a Christian that it was like a magic wand. You know, you pray and God does it. And it doesn't appear to work like that. In fact, he seems to be more interested in the forging of my character for his use than anything else. Let me tell you about this past season. Things were trucking on with Sam and I, and we were doing well, we thought. I don't think actually we did think that. We just got on with things, didn't we? And then September, with a line of work stretching before me, I was, I don't think I was particularly complacent, but we were comfortable. And then the work dried up instantly. A job that I put time aside for didn't happen. And so we have no work. And at that point, the Blooming Church decides to buy a building. And we know, because we've spoken to each other and we've set in our minds that we are going to give generously at this time. So, no income, no work, and a commitment. And the temptation at that time is to say, okay, well, we'll just wait. But we knew that wasn't an option. We felt comfortable with that. And the testimony here is that God has a plan. And when you align yourself with his plan, he works it out. Now, most of you know, because Sam puts it on Facebook, that I build shepherd's huts, or I'm starting to build shepherd's huts. And I had a plan to build another shepherd's hut to sell. But, of course, when you're working busily, you don't have the time. And as the time goes on and I haven't got any work, I feel strongly that God's saying, well, you did ask for time to build the shepherd's hut. This isn't a mistake. God orders our lives, and sometimes we can't see how that works. Psalm 23 says this, the Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. And in this period when normally the human in myself and Sam would say, I've got no work, I've got to try harder. We actually think, okay, God, what do you want to do? And we've found peace. We found time to build what we feel is God's plan, to build shepherd's huts and sell them. It's a change of direction for us. I find changes of direction difficult. I'm not particularly entrepreneurial. I buy high and sell low. That's my attitude. So for me, building the things is great. Selling them frightens me. So to go down this pathway of building shepherd's huts and selling them is very, very frightening. It's a bit like selling your soul, something I've done, something I've built, putting it on the market so that people can criticize it and maybe pay money for it. It's a complete change of direction. And I need to know that God's in control of it. This whole process from September through to just after Christmas has been a process of discovering foundations. God's done a lot of that in my life lately, discovering foundations. What do you rest on? He guides me along right paths for his name's sake. And I think that's the key thing. It's for his name's sake that he does all these things. What excites me most, the foundational thing that excites me most, is that Jesus came because God had a plan. Jesus, God, the Holy Spirit, God the Father, the Holy Spirit, they agreed on this plan. And this plan involves me. And it involves Joe and Sam. And it involves each one of you that chooses to take Jesus as Lord. And the plan is that the people who call Jesus Lord should be the answer to the world's problems. Isn't that exciting? Now, isn't that a vision to grasp? Isn't that something that makes us buzz? My heart has always risen to Christians grasping the fact that they have identity, one, but also they have purpose. You know, to see people involved, fully wrapped up with the purposes of God, fulfilled, isn't that fantastic? And to know that what we do is saving the world.
That's great. David was talking, wasn't he, last week with the light of the world, and yeah, it's great. I was a bit concerned John was just going to talk about cat poo then, but he did move on, so that's great. Yeah, I don't think I'll see anyone. Brilliant. Sue's going to come and share something, so why don't we welcome Sue.
Thanks. Well, many of you know that on 28th of November, our second grandson was born, and all seemed to go well. It was a home birth, and everything was fine, and the next morning she took the baby in with her husband to be checked with the midwife, and all was well, and they came back home. And then Tilda began to feel something's not right here, and Fairdo, her husband, said, knowing that Matilda gets really worried about things, he said, well, the midwife said he's okay. And then their sister-in-law came in and looked at him, and she's a medic, and she said, I think she's all right. And she rang up the midwife, and the midwife said, well, I did check in this morning, and he was fine. But she said, if you're going to worry about it all day, all night, take him into A&E. And so then she rang, some of you know the Moors, in Midhurst. Lucy, her great friend, lives around the corner, and she works in A&E, in paediatric A&E at King's College Hospital. And she said, oh, Lucy, would you just come and have a look at him? Everybody says, I'm worrying, and I probably am, but she said, would you just come and have a look at him? And she came round, and she said, if it was my child, I'd take him in. So thank God for her. And so they got in the car, and in fact, by the time they got to the hospital, Ralph was sour-nosed, and he was having really struggling breathing. I mean, he'd gone so quickly, because it does with babies. And the consultant said, oh, it's so good you brought him in. An hour later, he'd be dead. And we did thank God for that. Anyway, they dealt with him. His count was, it should be 5 in a newborn. It was 150. And his white count was way up. And he was really seriously ill. And we all started to pray. And you folks here were also praying. And they put him on, obviously, onto antibiotics and oxygen. He struggled because he was so sick, and he was finding it difficult to feed and things. And every time Tilda felt worried, she'd text me and we'd pray. And it was extraordinary how God would bring in somebody to come and help. A doctor came who wasn't due to come, would come in. Or it was just extraordinary. And she looked on her app, and the verse was, the Lord will fight for you. And she just knew that God was going to fight for little Ralph. And that night, he got worse again. And he was so sleepy, he couldn't feed, and he was getting jaundice, and she knew she had to feed him, and she was panic-stricken. And so she texted me at about 2, and she said, 2 a.m., and she said, please pray. So we prayed. And she said, and the nurses, they're very nice, she said, but they're also young, she said. And I don't have great faith in them. And so we prayed again, and one of the nurses came back in again, and she said, just don't try feeding him, just let him have a little rest. And he had a little rest, and half an hour later, he was able to feed again. And she had another hiccup, and she was really frightened, because in the night time you do. And I said, Tilda, just remember, God's going to fight for you. And we prayed again, and the doctor who wasn't due to come in at 4 a.m. in the morning just dropped in to see how he was and was able to reassure her. And it was just amazing how God gives you his word to encourage you and help you focus on him. And every single time there was a little hiccup, she'd ring me up, and we'd pray, and God would. He does sometimes answer immediately. And he did in Ralph's case, and now Ralph is doing so well, he's going to outstrip his older brother, I think. But God's been really good.
I don't know, those stories just do something to me. I have little babies and God, and I don't know if your experience. I've heard a lot of where mum. I think there's something in it where God just gives mums this ability, this kind of supernatural eyes to see where something's up. My wife actually, Liz, is telling a bit of our story in Chichester this morning, just about how kind of we picked up Reuben when our little boy is diabetic. And just kind of that story and what God's been doing in our lives. So shameless plug, check it out on the downloads. We're going to be across the sites, actually, we're going to be putting up downloads. We've got testimonies across all three sites. So there's loads to hear of, and just encourage you to do that. Go and check out what God's been doing in the people in Bognor, in our church, and the people in Chichester as well. Because there's some amazing stories. But yeah, I don't know. I hope your faith's being stirred. Mine certainly is. And another one, actually, Becky. Mum is going to come and tell her story as well. So why don't we welcome Becky up.
So this isn't all notes, it's actually just that long, in case it looks like a lot. And most of you have probably read the testimony that I'm going to talk a little bit about, because it was in Grace Life, the one before. But really it's just talking about what happened with my son when he was born, my youngest. I've got 4 children, an older son who's 10, and a baby who's 10 months. And we were praying loads for him to be born. I had a really good Christian friend praying that we could have a really good home birth, and God answered our prayers. It was amazing. The midwives were brilliant. Everything went really well. Sam came and picked the children up for us in the morning and took them off while we just got the last bit sorted, well, gave birth. And then they came back after church and met their new baby brother. So it was wonderful, so blessed. That night, I noticed that he was throwing up a bit of green sick. And my older son, who's 10, had the same condition. So basically, he had a blocked bowel and had to have an emergency operation. So he was straight to the children's hospital for an emergency operation that night, which obviously, with the hormones of just giving birth and everything, it sent me in a bit of a spin. And I just really wanted to share just how we have felt God with us through all of it. Someone gave me that scripture about not being worried or anxious about any, I think that's the right scripture. Probably got it wrong there. But anyway, there's a bit in it that says, in the Bible, that says, the Lord is at hand. There's a little line. It says, the Lord is at hand. And I just felt the Lord was at hand throughout every step in the hospital and through all of it. So much so, there's a few things. We had a car that broke down halfway through the time we were in the hospital. And Greg sent a little message out to people at church, the whole of Grace Church, and said, can anyone give me a lift to the hospital, or can we borrow a car? Someone bought us one and bought us a 7-seater, which was amazing because I just, you know. And also just phone calls, being able to phone people in the middle of the night and people praying with me, just helping me through all. It's just, you can't put it into words. The amount of love and support through God, through his church, it's just, you know, I was absolutely overwhelmed by it. And I wanted to add a quick little personal bit of God's intimate love for me personally. And it might seem a bit silly and maybe a bit trite with all of this amazing stuff, but I had a chocolate craving. I was in the hospital and there was hospital food every day for me. And I was feeling, oh, just giving birth, no energy. And I saw someone's Kit Kat in the parents' room in the fridge. And I was like, I just so want that Kit Kat. I just so want that Kit Kat. And it just shot sort of through my heart, through my head, my whole being, desired that Kit Kat. Anyway, the next time Greg came to the hospital, which wasn't so long, he turned up. He said, oh, by the way, my work gave us this. I looked at it. Big, big black box, about this big. Okay. And I was like, what is that? And you know that chocolate, really expensive chocolate company in Chichester? I can't even remember the name of it now. I can't remember. But anyway, it was the most enormous box of really expensive chocolate. God was like, Beck, you wanted chocolate. I love you. I'm going to be extravagant about this. And you know what? My heart melted at that moment. It seemed silly, but I was just like, you really love me, don't you? Even in the midst of all this, you really love me. And that's amazing. So one more quick thing just about Micah. We had a song that we had going through our minds. Greg plays lots of music and I listen. And one of them is, it's got the line, your scars will heal and you'll dance again. You probably know it, some of you. But those are the two lines that really touch me. And I'm really being blessed at the moment because Micah loves music. And whenever he hears a tune, he starts doing this. And none of our kids were really into music. So I just feel so blessed even now from that time. Of just, you know, him bringing us through it. Gwyn is just going to quickly share just her experience of the time. She just wrote a couple of pages she's going to read to you. Is that right?
When Micah was in hospital, I was... after school, I got a bit excited because Francis came and picked us up from school every day. But I was also really worried about Micah. I missed Mum, and Dad kept driving up and down, so I didn't really see him much either. When Mum and Micah were in hospital, there was this McDonald House thingy, and it was like a hotel thingy, and there was a room that we stayed in and for a weekend, so we got to see them a bit more. When Micah came home, our auntie Roro was there, so she helped a bit, but she got ill. And so she couldn't really help anymore. And Micah got something in like an infected scar or something. So he went to Chichester Hospital after he had come back. And we saw them a little bit more then because it was closer. Yeah. During that time, Psalm 93 helped me. I read it, like, to help me get to sleep some nights. And, um, um, And at school, I felt like that I had no friends because I was really worried. But then I read that and it really helped me. The Lord reigns, he is robed in majesty. The Lord is robed, he had put on the strength as his belt. Yes, the world is established, it shall never be moved. Your throne is established from old, you are from everlasting.
Amazing. I was just chatting with Becky. She didn't really know that kind of that when he was going through that and kind of praying that and had that psalm on her heart, the Lord reigns. I think, isn't that wonderful that God reigns? And I think that's one of the things you can pick up from today, isn't it? It doesn't, what does that mean? The Lord reigns, what does that mean for me? Sometimes it means my heart, my life's tough still. Sometimes it doesn't necessarily mean my life's easy, but God always reigns. God always is on the throne. He's always good. He's always there for me. I think that's such a wonderful picture, actually, that Kit Kat story. And it just kind of so. I don't know if you've been through things like that. And sometimes that is what really lifts your, not just like makes you feel a bit, oh, that's nice, but really just lifts your spirit, doesn't it? Lift your soul. And I think it's a great picture of, to me, Becky, seeing a Kit Kat and thinking, oh, a Kit Kat. And I'm thinking, a Kit Kat? Like, they're like the most lame chocolate ever. But then someone brings a huge box of fancy chocolates. You think, wow. And I think that's sometimes how God works, isn't it? We so get caught up on the Kit Kat and we're saying, God, I want that. You know, as we've been saying, prayer works like that sometimes. Sometimes we pray for a Kit Kat. God gives us a Kit Kat. And sometimes we get so caught up on it and God says, actually, no, that's not my plan for you. Here's a massive box of chocolates and something, and it might not always be a massive box of chocolates, but it's something else. It wasn't what we necessarily thought of, but God is there. So that's amazing. I hope your faith has been stirred. I hope you're encouraged. As we read earlier, Paul's kind of beginning to the letter, and then towards the end of that chapter, he goes on, and at the end of verse 18, he says, God will bring it to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. And he goes on and says, and I will continue to rejoice. 19 says, for I know that through your prayers and God's provision of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, which we've heard about both of those things, haven't we? What has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance. I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. No doubt of that. And he says, for to me, to live is Christ and to die is gain. So let's be encouraged. Let's have this attitude of Paul's, this Christ-like attitude. You know what? Whatever comes, we've got a hope in Jesus. I will continue to rejoice because the Lord reigns. The Lord is on the throne. We're going to come to worship. Why don't you stand as we respond in worship? Let's be encouraged. Let's rejoice. Let's praise God for all that he has done in our lives. I hope you are encouraged this morning. I am. There's something so real, isn't there? There's something so kind of unarguable about these stories we've been hearing. As I say, some of them fresh, some of them like just God's been pouring out his blessing. Some of them like actually been through a really tough time. But I just know that the Lord reigns. He's seated on the throne. Why don't you pray with me? Why don't you close your eyes where you are, and I just encourage you to get before God. I'm just reminded of what Katie was brought earlier and about counting every blessing. And I'm not saying, you know, the message isn't kind of, you know, come on, get over it. Your life's not that bad, really. It's your life truly is richly blessed. It says in Ephesians, we have every spiritual blessing. God has blessed you with every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. I thank God for, you know, my children. I thank God for my family. But ultimately, God can do what he wants in my life, and he will not cease to be good. He has given me Jesus. He's given me life. was just thinking of this earlier. Again, why don't you just stay where you are before God? There's this word, these words in Isaiah. And Isaiah says, he kind of had a vision, and he said, I saw the Lord high and exalted, seated on a throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphim, the angels, each with six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, with two they covered their feet, and with two they were flying. And they were calling to one another, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory. And at the sound of their voices, the doorsteps and thresholds shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. Again, just why don't you just picture yourself walking into this building this morning, and it's just you, empty building, and yet you see, you walk in and you see the Lord sat on the throne, and the train of his robe fills the place, fills the hall. And there's angels, and they've got wings covering their faces because they can't look at God. He's so good and holy and pure. And then they just say, holy is God. And the whole place shakes, and these big pillars start to shake and tremble. And there's a mighty sound. You know, that's the God we're coming to as we sing. That's the God who reigns. That's the God who is with us in our trials. He's not, you know, he's not just a friend who comes and cuddles us. He is God Almighty, in control, and he is the one who is with us, and he's the one we approach. So let's sing. We're going to sing. I encourage you to approach with some awe. Let's approach with awe and wonder, as well as a joy that he is not so distant that he doesn't care about our stories, that he's so wonderful and so good that he gets involved in our mess and loves us through it and has a plan and uses us through it, as John was saying earlier as well. Let's worship with awe, let's worship with wonder and a joy that God catches us up in all that he does. Let's sing together.